Great. Well, thank you very much for your introduction. Again, my name is Jennifer Yost. I work with Dr. Albert Hardemink as well as Bill Bland from UW-Madison. And today I'm going to be talking to you about soil carbon in the sandy soils of Wisconsin. So why do we study this? Sandy soils are heavily cultivated, especially with large amounts of irrigation. And specifically in the Central Sands, we see a lot of corn, soybeans, as well as potatoes. There are two main reasons why carbon is important. The first one being climate, because climate affects the sequestration as well as the emission of carbon in soil, as well as the soil productivity, which influences the structure, the amount of erosion, the plant nutrition, etc. So the main question for today is how much carbon is being stored in these sandy soils. So to start, I wanted to show a global extent of sandy soils, and this is specifically arenosols, which is an equivalent to cements, which are just very sandy entisols. So based on this map, you're able to see a large portion of Africa, as well as the Middle East, South America, and Australia all have these very sandy soils. And there are little bits and pieces found in the U.S. When zooming into the U.S. scale, this is a map of the suborders of the entisols, and specifically I want you to just look at the yellow sections, which are going to be the cements. So you're able to see there's a huge portion of cements in the Nebraska Sand Hills, as well as in the Central Sands of Wisconsin. But they're also kind of spread all over the U.S., and there's a good portion in the central or southern California, as well as throughout Florida. And then to zoom it even further to Wisconsin, where the location marker is where the study, near the study site, and you're able to see that it's primarily composed of UD cements, which again are these sandy soils that have at least 80% sand. So first I'm going to start talking about two different databases. For the Lit Review, that was compiled by 80 different journals that were published between 1990 and 2015. And specifically, I was just interested in looking at papers that talk about cements as well as arenosols, and I was able to get about 150 pedons out of that those journals. The second one was from the NRCS, which shows I focused on looking at samples that had at least 85% sand, and the topsoil was estimated to be about 20 to 25 centimeters, to kind of keep it consistent to what we found in the Lit Review as well as in previous studies. And the land use was derived from the National Land Cover Database. And then the Central Sands was primarily composed of UD cements as well as arenic helpidulfs. And we have 57 pedons, which I will get to later in this presentation. So for the databases, there are a couple of categories that were important. The first one we wanted to know is where are these samples located, as well as the soil class, the precip and temp, as well as the land use horizons and soil properties. So first I want to just show the differences between land uses and soil organic carbon, and this was based on the 80 papers found in the global research. So when looking at this graph, you're able to see agriculture doesn't seem to hold that much carbon. There is only about 5 grams of carbon per kilogram, and then when comparing it to a planted forest, you're able to see that there is about 21 grams of carbon. So just across the scale of the different land uses, the carbon acts very differently. Again, this is shown in using the NRCS database, which the land uses are slightly different. Again, agriculture seems to have the least amount of carbon present, and this time it was even less, coming in around 2.6 grams of carbon, while the prairies are able to store closer to 5.5. So there is a land use effect when it comes to soil organic carbon in these sandy soils. And then I just wanted to quickly go through the carbon stocks from the 80 papers. And you're able to see agriculture was able to hold approximately 8 tons of carbon, while the forests, again, were able to store a lot more, closer to 12 tons of carbon. So now I want to zoom into my own research at the Central Sands. If you don't remember, the Central Sands are on the top right. It's the big orange spot on the state of Wisconsin. So this is just an aerial figure showing not only my study site, but also the surrounding area. So my first bullet point was saying that these soils are widely cultivated. And based on this figure, you can see that at least 85% of this area in the Central Sands is farmland, with little pieces of forest kind of here and there, but it's dominantly just cultivated. The picture on the top left is the pivot that I did my studies at. And the six different the six little markers show where my six soil pits were. All the soil pits were dug to approximately 70 centimeters, depending on the gravel. The picture on the top right shows the soil survey for this pivot. 80% of this was Uraniate Kapudolf. And just by looking at that, you're able to see that it seems as though the pivot is pretty uniform, at least when looking at just the soil from the soil survey. But there's also mollisols as well as entosols and alfasols found on this field. The picture on the bottom left is a picture showing the electrical conductivity of the field. And this is when we're able to start seeing that there is variation. Even though 80% of it might be an Uraniate Kapudolf, there is a lot of variation in just the electrical conductivity, which is good to note. So now I just wanted to show you a couple of properties that were found in these six different pits, which are labeled 1 through 6 on all of the axes. So first for topsoil, although these six pits were relatively close to each other, there were huge differences kind of in the depth of the topsoil. So for the topsoil, say for pit number 4, we can see only came in at about 20 centimeters. But then when comparing it to the first one, or pit number 1, the topsoil thickness was about 36. So not only do the fields look different just based on the EC, but they also vary in their soil properties. And this is the bottom graph shows the sand content. Again, all of these are just looking at the topsoil because that's where all of the carbon is stored. Again, the sand kind of ranges from about 850 to about 910 grams of sand. So you're able to see that even in these different pits that are relatively similar or close to each other, there is huge differences in the properties. And the picture on the right is just showing one of the six pits that were dug, and you're able to see the thick topsoil as well as the subsoil below. So now to dive into the carbon stacks and the concentration. Again, the concentration is still in grams of carbon per kilogram soil. And similar to the sand and the topsoil, you're able to see that these pits are all different. So the carbon ranged from about 12 to 35 grams of carbon, which is a huge number when you think about it, for variation within a field. But based on looking at the carbon concentration, it was only pit number 1 that seemed to go above 25 grams of carbon. So most of the time, we noticed carbon levels less than 25 grams of carbon. The carbon stacks show the same pattern, but this time we're able to see the carbon stacks range from 35 to 175 tons. So these sands are capable of holding a lot more carbon than we expected, and especially in just a short distance from each other. And the bottom is the calculation that was done to get the carbon stack. So we took the gravel content into account. Now to wrap it up, just to kind of bring the beginning literature and my study together, again, this is just looking at the agricultural setting opposed to doing all land uses in the topsoil. And based on when comparing the lit review and the NRCS data to the central sands, we noticed that the central sands hold a lot more carbon, coming in around 10 grams of carbon, while the max lit review was less than 6. So when comparing it, we're just kind of wondering why the content is different in both of them. As well as the topsoil depth in the central sands seems to be much greater than when comparing it to the lit review as well as to the NRCS. And then I just wanted to kind of put the carbon stacks that we got at our farm into perspective with other soil orders. And then in the parentheses is using the USDA taxonomy, so you guys kind of get the point. But so when looking at the uranosols that was published in Bates' 1996 paper, he estimated approximately 14 tons of carbon. But if you compare that to the six pits that we dug, we had 35 to 175 tons. So that's a lot more than was published out of that journal. But it's still less than what you would see in a histosol. But it's still a lot of carbon being stored that we didn't really know much about. So to conclude, we noticed that not only does the soil organic carbon, but also the carbon stacks in these lit review for the global and the NRCS, the carbon is a lot greater in the forest than in the agricultural setting. This also was how it was in the Central Sands of Wisconsin. There was high amounts of carbon, as well as it's a huge range in the carbon stocks. Again, that was between 35 and 175 tons. And just kind of as a concluder, these could result because of the high amount of inorganic fertilizers that are being applied to these fields, as well as an increase in irrigation, just because they're sandy, so they need a lot more in order to produce crops on. So that, I would like to say thank you very much for listening to my presentation, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
We have some time for questions.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
How do you think those 6 weeks that you evaluated, are they representative of the entire air, or is this a particular place that maybe have higher productivity?
For this presentation, we were just focusing on the carbon, but for the actual my actual project, based on the EC map, we were kind of able to see that there are different zones where the pits were, and what was going on is we are looking at three different kind of zonings in the field, so whether the soil is more dry, if it's kind of in the middle, or if it's wet. So these pits were kind of picked out for us. And we were just looking at the differences in carbon contents to figure out kind of what areas look to be the best when looking at these different managements.
Is the management that 15 holes in the 6 feet is the same, right?
Right.
Is the management representative of the entire region, or maybe they're using higher nitrogen, or they're obtaining?
Right, they are using different irrigation. So they use these EC maps to kind of figure out how much nitrogen needs to go down, or fertilizers, or irrigations in those certain areas. But of course, it's not going to be perfect, but they at least use this data to try to figure out how they can improve or get better yields. But these six pits were just chosen because we knew it was in these three different categories.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
We still have the